Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashoff.org. That's BASHOF.org.
And it shoots and scores! Tomas Hurdle hits the jackpot!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
It's up to Philip Zadina now. He has to score to keep this game alive. Here comes Philip Zadina now. Very skilled player moving into the play against Mrazek. Shoots, save. And the Blackhawks win the game in the shootout by the score of 2-1. The Sharks come out to console Mackenzie Blackwood, who was brilliant tonight. But how about the brilliance of Mrazek the whole game? And then, in the shootout, when he made 9 attempts, he only let in 1.
I mean, I'd be lying to you to say if it wasn't a win on all of us. I think, you know, we, you know, especially when you put in, you know, all this time and all this effort to create positive things in a game like that, and, you know, obviously to run into a hot goalie, it's tough. And, you know, for the young guys, I think they've done a pretty good job of staying positive and staying with it and, you know, being kind of our energy on some days, you know, whether that's, you know, practice or, you know, even just showing up to the rink. And, you know, they're doing a good job of being professionals and coming to work every day. And, you know, I think that's for the most part, I think, you know, obviously there's outliers in the statement, but I think, you know, for the most part, we've tried to come and had energy and, you know, be a team, be a family and, you know, go to work for each other every night.
All right, good morning, everyone. What is happening? The San Jose Sharks earn a point last night, but fall yet again, this one by a final of 2-1 in the shootout to Chicago, meaning the San Jose Sharks only pick up 1 win on the 5-game road trip and 3 points out of a possible 10. For the most part, this road trip continued their trend of simply not being able to score goals. They lost 7-1 to Toronto. They won 3-2 against Montreal. They lost 5-4 against Ottawa. They lost 3-0 to Buffalo, and they only scored 1 goal in the shootout loss to Chicago. So that quick math tells me they scored 9 goals in 5 games, and that's not going to get it done in the NHL, whether you're at home, whether you are away. I mean, if you had told me that the Sharks were going to give up only 3 goals in your last 2 games with your goalies in front of the net with 1 empty netter, I mean, that's a winnable situation for almost every other team in the NHL. You look at what Mrazek did last night for Chicago. That's the difference, is they were able just to provide a little bit more offensive support by way of the shootout. And for the Sharks right now, especially with Mikael Granlund now looking like he's going to go down for a little bit, they literally do not have the horses, and this is the latest issue. You still don't have Logan Couture back. You were hoping that he was going to be able to come back on this trip, but that has not been the case. And, you know, we are looking at the Sharks entering a very, very realistic chance of ending up with one of the worst records of the salary cap era, which was something that was predicted before the start of the year. But you can't really know until you get deeper into the year what things are going to look like, and they might be able to pull their way out of it. But, you know, right now they have lost 15 out of their last 16 games. Granted, they do have 4 out of their next 6 at home, and they would hopefully be able to get a couple of wins, if not just 1 win while they are at home. But it's not going to be easy. They are going to be taking on the Ducks, who we would say is a beatable team, but the Sharks have not shown the ability to beat the lower tier teams of the NHL as of late. The only recent one they were able to beat is Montreal. Then they're going to be at LA on the 22nd and home against the Rangers. Those are 2 very difficult games for an away and home, and especially on a back-to-back. Then they're going to be hosting the Sabres, and then they are going to be hosting Seattle, who's really picked things back up lately, before they go off to visit the Ducks to end off the month. And then they do go into the All-Star break, where hopefully they will get a little bit of time. And I'm wondering now if they just looked at Logan Couture and thought to themselves, maybe we should give it a little bit more time. Maybe we should just give him that much more of a chance to recover. I don't know that. I'm just speculating. But I'm certainly of the mind that right now that there is no rush to bring Logan Couture back. And I'm not saying that to be negative or that the season is lost or anything like that, because there's a lot that can be earned in this time for the San Jose Sharks in terms of what their younger players are doing, in terms of what the, you know, just overall mindset of these guys going forward is. And that's one of the things that I think that the Sharks have to look for right now is that, and we'll get into this a little bit later, is that, you know, you hear William Eklund after the game, and he wasn't negative like he was when he spoke after the home loss against Detroit, where he was giving one word answers. But you would hope that the winning weighs on him, and this is inspiring him to be a better player and inspiring him to, you know, want the team to be that much better that much sooner. Because I think that there are different ways that losing can impact a team. Sometimes it can motivate you and inspire you to be better. And sometimes it can obviously take a negative effect and build a mentality of losing. But I've never felt that that mentality of losing has really snuck in with this team. And I give them a lot of credit for it, because they don't show that fractured atmosphere that I've been around in other sports teams over the course of my life, whether as a reporter or whether as looking at it from the perspective of being a team employee, of which I have, you know, I've been doing this my entire life. I have felt the negativity in bad locker rooms, and this is not what I would use to describe what's going on with the Sharks right now. The Sharks, just when you get to the end of the day, are not a very talented team. They are working hard. I didn't think last night was the gutsiest or greatest effort that they've ever put forth in a game, but still they had a chance to walk away with a win when all was said and done. You can only judge each game off the individual game that was played. They gave themselves a chance to win, and unfortunately they just did not have the talent to get it done when all is said and done, especially against a goalie that was playing relatively hot. So right now the Sharks have 24 points on the year. They are 7 back of Anaheim, who has 31 points. You go to where Chicago is. Chicago has 4 more points than San Jose. So for everyone that wants to dump on San Jose and talk about how bad they might potentially be, well, they're only 4 points worse than Chicago. You look at Columbus, they've got 37 points. They're not exactly killing it. And you look at where Ottawa is, they've got 30 points. So they're not exactly leaps and bounds ahead of where San Jose is. But we do look at the top-tier teams in the NHL right now. Boston, they've only won 2 in a row. You know, the New York Rangers have won 2 in a row. We look at the Vancouver Canucks. They are still coming off that overtime loss to Columbus on Monday night. And then you look at, a team like Winnipeg. They've won 1 game in a row. So the only outlying streaky team in the NHL right now is Edmonton. They're riding an 11-game winning streak. And we look at Seattle. They've cooled down a bit. They've lost 2 after they were streaking. But that's just what the NHL is right now, guys. I mean, we just can't go and say that the Sharks are that much different than all these other teams because, again, Anaheim and Chicago and Edmonton are within shouting distance. And you know what was one of the most amazing stats I heard the other day was that Toronto, in terms of their regulation wins, they were only better than teams than like San Jose, Chicago, Minnesota, a few others in terms of regulation wins. And so again, things can be deceptive. Now, Toronto did manhandle the Sharks 11-2 on aggregate when they played back-to-back games earlier this year. But, you know, it's a tough league, right? Like that's what you try and get down to. And when you take a league as tough as the NHL is, and you put a team like San Jose with where they are, it's not going to be an easy ride to the end. And listen, the Sharks only have to get, you know, 2 more wins from now till the end of the year to be better than the worst Sharks team of all time. But that doesn't mean that this is going to be an easy year from here to the end. This is going to be a very, very difficult season. This is going to be a very, very difficult stretch from now till the end of the year, because I don't think at this point that there's going to be a lot of wins along the way. I mean, you look at the goal differentials. The Sharks have a minus 94 goal differential. That's pretty amazing. I got to admit, being negative 94 right now in goal differential. You know, the Blackhawks are only minus 60. You know, Columbus is negative 31, and Ottawa is only negative 13. So the Sharks, in terms of being, you know, the most beat up on team, That is very much the accurate statement of the year at this point. But you got to hope that the Sharks are going to be able to come home and be able to put forth some better performances. I would love for Logan Couture to come back. I'm just not sure if that's going to happen before or after the break at this point, because like I've said before, there's just no point in rushing it. But, you know, right now the Sharks have got to be looking at themselves and not feeling very good, and the offense isn't there, and Mikael Granlund goes down in last night's game, clutching his shoulder, leaving the ice, and it probably feels like there is going to be, you know, some sort of a absence from him. But, you know, the team is going through it right now, and it makes you appreciate the Sharks being so good for so long. I think that if you could do it all over again, I don't think you'd do anything different. You were able to be a very good team, a very competitive team. You had something each year to look forward to for about two decades, and really for almost the entirety of the Sharks organization. You know, previously, the longest they'd ever gone without making the playoffs was 2 years. So you had about 30 years of being in it every single season, and now we're in that rebuild. But I talked to John Weidman about this yesterday, considering the Blackhawks were in a similar situation to the Sharks, is how I looked at it, of saying, you know, how long can the fan bases be patient and put up with going through these rebuilds? Because that's where both the Sharks and the Blackhawks are right now. And this is what he had to say.
I think that is accurate. And if, I think if you were to ask the fan base here, would you trade 7, maybe 5 years of mediocre to bad hockey for 3 Stanley Cup championships? I think you'd get just about 99, maybe even 100% agreement on that. I can't think of any dissenting voices, excuse me, in a scenario like that. I can't think of any dissenting voices to say, well, no, I'm not going to go through those 5 years at the end. If you know, I'm not going to do that. I want the 3 Stanley Cup championships, but I'm not going to put up with the 5 years of losing. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to find too many of fans that would have that opinion.
The only difference is that there is no guarantee. When you're in the midst of a rebuild, when you're in the midst of trying to make your team better for the future is almost an abstract concept that no one can really fully focus on, because you're so stuck in the here and now, where you are looking at just everything that's going wrong and your inability to win games and the fact that you can't, you know, just score consistently and you can't find a lot of wins. It's not as much fun, you know, to be a fan when you're going through all the losing. And I think that there's different ways you can look at it. When you are in this position, you do tend to think of, okay, you know, it's going to be for the future, but that doesn't make the here and now any easier, because it's not fun to lose. You like to go to games where you're going to be entertained. And generally when you have a high performing team, you have a greater chance of having an entertaining viewpoint of the sense of your team, you know, being worth the money of the ticket, or sitting down and investing your time and money, you know, in that cable package so that you can watch it. And I know there are a lot of people, win or lose, they want to watch the Sharks. They like watching the Sharks. They like watching hockey. I'm one of those people, because I just, you know, any sport that I have an investment in emotionally, I want to watch. You know, it's why I've been able to be a Sharks fan for, you know, so long. It's why I've been able to be, you know, a 49ers fan for so long. I've watched so many bad teams along the way. It's just exciting because you want to see the narrative and you love the way that a season plays out. And sure, there are certain games that do not grab your attention or your interest the same way that other games do, but it's fun being that type of a fan. But when you also look at the grand scheme of the competition in the Bay Area, yeah, I understand why fans, if their team is bad, they're going to tune out and watch another team. And I can't argue with that mentality. And I know people have this thought about bandwagon fans of, oh, you know, that's a bad, like, no. Not everybody's going to be bought in on watching a team go through a rebuild. Not everybody's going to be bought in on watching a team, you know, maybe losing and not having a lot of star power. I don't have an issue with that at all. I think that you do want bandwagon fans, because that's indicative of your team being well. And I look forward to a future, you know, that's not too far off, where a lot of people are bandwagon Sharks fans and they're jumping on and they want to go see Will Smith and they want to see Will Eklund and Quentin Musty and whoever else is going to be coming up through the ranks of the Sharks overall prospect pool that's being built throughout these bad times right now. I mean, you make a comparison to what the Warriors have been as of late. The Warriors were god-awful forever. I mean, they were, you know, rebuilding to talk about what they did in the 15 years without playoffs. That doesn't even come close, but they were arguably, you know, the worst franchise in pro sports, or up there at the top of the conversation in terms of their ability to win and make the playoffs. And now, you know, they are at the tail ends and look likely at the ends of what was a dynastic run for a decade, where they had a generational talents and were able to maximize that window and give themselves, you know, NBA Finals wins and, you know, have some of the biggest stars in the world playing right here in the Bay Area. Can something like that happen with the Sharks? It's definitely possible. You know, if you had told me who was more likely to have the dynastic run in the next, you know, century, if you had told me in, you know, 2002 and said the Sharks or the Warriors, I would have bet a lot more money on the Sharks than the Warriors being that team that had the dynastic run. And the Sharks came about as close to having a dynastic run without being a team that won a Stanley Cup. And that's just because sometimes you can do everything right and still end up with the wrong answer. And part of the things of doing things right was Doug Wilson going out there and leveraging the future for the window that he was in. And I don't begrudge him for that because he gave the Sharks a chance to win every single year. It didn't go down that way, but still the Sharks were in it year after year after year after year, which is something that I think right now you probably appreciate much more today than you did then. So, you know, it's all part of how it goes down. It can't always be a win. It can't always be overall just this amazing experience every time you sit down and watch your team play a game. Even when the Sharks were at their best, it was not like every game was amazing. It was just that the majority of games were amazing and really fun to watch, and you had a great time you know, with your friends getting ready to watch a Sharks game. I mean, I remember before I worked for the team, getting together with people to go on a random, you know, Tuesday or Thursday night to go over to their house and watch the game. Like, it was an excitement about it, and that doesn't exist right now because the team is where they are. They're in the midst of a rebuild. But again, I go back to that idea of the rebuild ostensibly leads to a better time. It leads to a better outcome when all is said and done. It's just that you got to go through the bad times right now, and we are most surely in the bad times. The Sharks lost 12 games in a row. Then they won one game. Now they have lost three games in a row, although one of them is an overtime loss, so you can classify it that way. 1-8-1 in their last 10. But that doesn't make for the most inspiring outlook on where things are going to go for the rest of the season. And although I am excited to see what happens by Friday, March 8th, when the trade deadline rolls in, that's not going to be as exciting for other people. But, you know, right now you have Kaapo Kähkönen, who is in the trade talks, or Mackenzie Blackwood, we've heard mentioned as well. We've heard some other names in there for the San Jose Sharks. It'll be very curious to see what happens from now till the end of the season with San Jose, because it's all about the future. And I know that's not as fun as watching your team win in the here and now, but when you're in that future timeline and the Sharks are winning, you'll probably appreciate what they went through in the current state of things that much more. And the current state of things is simply not being able to score goals. The Sharks just are not getting it done offensively in any way, shape, or form. If we look at goals for across the league, Boston 144, Toronto 150, Red Wings 155. You know, you look at Colorado 170, Dallas 160. You know, you look at Vancouver, 168. The Sharks have 89 goals. Chicago's got 99. So there's still, you know, a percentage jump in front of them. And you look at the rest of the NHL and no one's really in that category. I know that David Quinn doesn't like to talk about it. The players don't like to talk about it. But there is a talent gap between where the Sharks are and the rest of the NHL. And we're going to watch that gap continue to be a factor from now till the end of the year. But I got to admit, I was entertained last night. I didn't hate the game. It wasn't the greatest game I've ever seen, but you know, the Sharks gave themselves a chance to win. Walked away with a point. It's better than getting beaten 7-1, I'll tell you that much. Better than losing 10-1 or 10-2. All right, we're going to get into post-game reaction on the other side. You're on Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Face off behind the net, center, front shot, score! Ryan Carpenter in the slot gets the pass from behind the net. battle won by Justin Bailey, and the fourth line delivers. Carpenter ties it up 1-1 at 5:13 of the third.
I mean, you know, it's a tough road trip to battle when we were down, and you know what I mean, to stay confident and to be able to come back and kill that penalty off too, you know, in overtime as a team. But yeah, I mean, to get a point, we're disappointed, not to get two, but at the same time, you know what I mean, to find a way to battle back in a tight game is positive.
Ryan Carpenter bringing us back in there with a goal and a post-game comment as we continue here on Morning Tide on a Wednesday morning. San Jose Sharks get today, tomorrow, and Friday away from games. They will be off today and having practices on Thursday and Friday. And then they are hosting the Ducks on Saturday nights, and that's a big one because looking at the strength of schedule ahead for the Sharks, the Ducks present what I truly believe as a beatable opponent, even though David Quinn doesn't want to hear that type of mentality. But, you know, I have to be realistic from my point of view of where the Sharks are right now, and they do not have a whole lot of wins, you know, on this point of the season. When I see a team like the Ducks, who is not that much ahead of where the Sharks are, I see a good opportunity, and hopefully that's how the Sharks will be going at it. Now, we don't know the status of Mikael Granlund. We don't know when Logan Couture is going to be able to come back finally. Hopefully it would be sooner rather than later, but like I said earlier, I wouldn't be surprised if they just wait to the other side of the All-Star break. But, you know, right now the Sharks are trying to lick their wounds, come back home. They've got four out of their remaining six games in the month of January at home, so we'll see what happens next. Let's get to David Quinn, who talked about Mikael Granlund after the game.
Yeah, not sure yet what the prognosis will be, but you know, might be out a little bit.
So that's a bummer because Mikael Granlund has been so good for the Sharks up to this point of the year. One of their most consistent players, a guy that I've gotten to know pretty well, and I enjoy his personality. I enjoy the way he plays. Watching his game is fun, and hopefully it's not bad. You know, if you have a shoulder injury, which there are many possible ones you can get, it can sometimes take a while to get back healthy. So hopefully he is able to recover quickly and will be back out there sooner rather than later. But if you're wondering whether or not you're going to see him on Saturday night against Anaheim, I'm not putting my money on it in that capacity. Head coach David Quinn also gave his overall thoughts about the game and what he saw from his team.
Yeah, I thought we played well. I thought we had a lot of great A's. I thought we played well. We played hard. Just we've been had a tough time scoring goals here over the last few days. So, but if we play like that, the pucks will eventually end up going in.
And the Sharks did do a much better job of chance generation against Chicago than they did against Buffalo. I think everybody was a little bit frustrated after the Buffalo game because the Sharks were simply just not getting enough looks, not being aggressive enough, and that was a difference in last night's game. Even if it was not good enough for them to get the win, they certainly did look a lot more aggressive when they got around the net, and that's something that needs to continue as they go forward throughout this season. They outshot Chicago 38-25. Won the faceoffs 51-49. They out-hit Chicago, blocked more shots. So the Sharks put forth an effort-filled performance, even if it didn't have the most spark ever. They still did what you would have thought was enough to give themselves a really good chance to get a win. And by way of getting a point in a shootout loss, yes, they did, you know, give themselves a chance. You just would have liked them to be able to get more than one goal in regulation because, you know, you only have a Kapo giving up two against Buffalo and then an empty netter. You only have Blackwood giving up one against Chicago. You're averaging, you know, 1.5 goals a game against in the last two games. Those seem like two winnable games. That's not the way it goes for the San Jose Sharks right now. Even though the Sharks went down early, David Quinn did notice the change in momentum throughout the second period.
I thought the second period was really good for us. You know, actually to the point where, you know, I thought we got a little sloppy towards the end, forcing offense, and then I think that's where they generated their offense with our blue line turnovers. So, you know, I thought we did a pretty good job in the third period of kind of playing a little bit more balanced game.
Sharks had distinctly more shots on goal in this game than they did against Buffalo, like we just referenced, but they were only able to get one in the back of the net. David Quinn was asked about how they simply get more goals.
You know, scoring streaky. You know, teams go through it, players go through it. Right now, we're in a little bit of a slump here from a goal scoring standpoint. Get the four in Ottawa and, you know, only get one over here in the last six periods. So, you know, we've just got to maybe bear down a little bit more. I don't think, you know, if you don't get the chances, that's when it's alarming. But we had plenty of chances tonight.
And I do understand his point, even if I don't agree with it 100%, because yes, scoring is streaky in the NHL, but the Sharks have had trouble scoring goals for an extended amount of time now, and they have not been a consistent goal-scoring team since they had that road trip from the end of November into the beginning of December. So I do agree that, yes, it's more frustrating when you don't get the shots on goal and you're not creating enough and you're not giving yourself enough chances. But the Sharks at this point of the year have proven themselves to be a non-offensive team, and I don't think that's David Quinn's fault in any way, shape, or form. And I just don't know that it's suddenly going to change if the Sharks do get more shots on net. I think that the Sharks run into a lot of hot goalies because they're a team that makes another team's goalie look pretty good. They're not getting enough grade A's. They're not creating enough opportunities. They're not at the talent level to be as problematic as some other teams are in the NHL. I'm not saying that to, you know, be, you know, critical or overwhelmingly negative. I think it's just part of the reality of where they are right now, which is why it's that much more, you know, painful when you lose a guy like Mikael Granlund for how much time, however, he's going to be out for. But he was a guy who could create, who could score, who could do things. And now you're going to be looking more from a Zadina, I think. You're going to be looking for Zetterlund. You're going to be looking for more from Hurdle. LeBanc, he was the only guy who could break through in the shootout last night. These guys all need to be contributors if Granlund is going to be out for any extended amount of time. One of the more positive aspects of the Sharks season has been the fact that Carpenter and Bailey have come up from the Barracuda and been impactful. It's been great watching these guys get their opportunities, both just tremendous veterans, tremendous glue guys, both seem really good in the dressing room. They're both very good interviews, which I appreciate, but both of them combined on a goal last night, and David Quinn weighed in on their performances.
Well, really happy for them. They both had good nights. They were on the puck all night long. And, you know, they make a great play off the faceoff, getting the puck deep. Bailey does a great job below the goal line, and we do a really good job finding Carpi right there at the net front. The other thing I loved about it, got rid of it quick. You know, no stick handling, just kind of one time to right in the net, which we need more of.
William Eklund got robbed a couple of times last night, and I think that it was pretty easy to see he was getting frustrated. David Quinn was asked about where Eklund is mentally.
Well, I think during the game we had to go down and kind of give him a hug because you could see the frustration in his face. But, you know, apparently he does have a goalless scoring streak. I don't know what it is. I don't pay attention to that. I don't look at the stats in that regard. The thing that I love about it is that, you know, there's other things he's doing, you know, and, you know, the scoring will happen. It's hard to score in this league, especially for a 21-year-old. But, you know, there are really things he's doing that most 21-year-olds don't. You know, I like his play away from the puck, his D-zone, his penalty kill has been good. So, and as you get older, you find, you know, you find satisfaction in that. That's what he's got to do.
And I think it's perfectly valid for Eklund to be frustrated because I don't think you want a guy who's satisfied with not scoring. I think that, yes, it is probably weighing on him, but at the same time, I don't think that's necessarily the worst thing in the world. It would be more concerning if he was not at all upset about the lack of scoring. I think you want those players who are not going to be, you know, just satisfied with being in the league. William Eklund wants to be much more than in the NHL. I think he wants to be a star. And I think him being frustrated is just evidence that he's got the right mindset.
Yeah, it's just frustrating because I want to see win. That's the number one thing.
Yeah, William Eklund's just obviously focused on the winning. I know that he was frustrated because he got robbed. He hit the crossbar on that one play, but that's what happens in the NHL. It's exceptionally hard to score those goals, and he's obviously going through it, you know, on this learning curve on a very, very down time for the San Jose Sharks. But, you know, these are the things that turn prospects into players, and William Eklund is going to be a better player because he has gone through all of this negativity up to this point of his career. I know that it's probably not very fun for him right now, but at the same time, it's not about the here and now. This is a time for the Sharks to develop themselves as a team and a franchise. Their window is not open right now. They are allowed to go through these growing pains right now. If William Eklund is hitting the crossbar with the game on the line in 5 years, you can probably be a little bit more upset about it. But for the time being, this is the process that the Sharks are going through. It is a process. Not to borrow from an overused term in sports in the last 20 years, but it takes time, it takes years, it takes effort, it takes blood, sweat, and tears. It's not fun right now when you're losing, but like you heard from John Weidman earlier, if that losing guarantees you that chance to compete and contend and win Stanley Cups, you look at it and say, yeah, that was the right move. It all worked out when all was said and done. All right, we are out of time. Be sure to be back with us Saturday afternoon as we get ready for the Sharks to take on the Ducks. 7 o'clock go time, 6:30 pre, right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
Finally, the Sharks get it back. It's muscled out, barely out, but not quite out. Here's Kurashev moving back in, turning, shooting. That's a big save by Blackwood with 4 minutes to play.